We are in a series, or we're just finishing off a series right now called the Breaking the Barriers. I was thinking about our time together as we were looking at some of the challenges that we face as a church, as we look outside of our walls, as we try to connect to people around. And there are challenges, and sometimes they're our fault. Okay? Sometimes the challenges arise because we do not necessarily connect with people the way we should. I want to introduce you to an individual here today. Maybe you can put that hit it to stage, the bucket there thing. This guy here, once he comes up on screen, he is an individual that I hope it comes up on screen. The buttons there, it says screen the. Stage. Okay, well, we're having technical difficulties, as if that never happens here in a church. The guy's name is Piotr Mnodonevnik. That's why I wanted it up here, because I can't pronounce the name, okay? But he's a guy that a number of years ago, there was a contest that was happening in Israel, okay, in the year 2000. And what happened was, it was an art contest to try to see what we can do to show how we can get along with other nationalities. So this guy, he came up with a picture that you've seen many times on the back of a car, and it's called Coexist. Anybody ever see that? A bumper of the car, and the word is coexist. And again, I wish I'd have it up here. These guys are going to make it work. Shane, you're a beautiful person. What it is every single letter represents a different religious symbol. Okay, so for example, the C in coexist is the letter or the symbol of the crescent moon. It's the symbol for Islam. The O in coexist is a symbol for peace. There we go. You guys are beautiful. There you are. The O is a symbol for peace or pacifism. I say that one fast a couple times. The E is a symbol for gay rights or gender equality. The X is a symbol for Judaism. The I, if you can see above the I, is a pentagram. By the way, I'm just going to show you the picture of this guy because I wanted you to see him. This is the author. Isn't he a good-looking young man? Anyway, moving on. This is the original. This is how they've changed it. So the I is a pentagram. The S is a symbol of the yin-yang, which represents Buddhism and Hinduism. The T is the symbol for what? Cross. Okay, you're with me, right? We're working together here. And I thought, you know, that's if this would be true, if we could coexist, this would be good, right? If we could only get along, right? I mean, that would be great. We tell kids in the playground, just get along. Have you ever said that to your kids in the home? Get along. We say it to adults. Get along, which is not a bad thing. We need to get. But see, here's the problem with this symbol. The problem with this concept is it represents religions that are very much not just opposed, but are out to get each other. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Where it represents religions that are, if they see someone of a different religion, they're going to try to take them out. And I'm not talking for coffee. Okay? I understand the concept, but unfortunately it doesn't work as well as it should. So what has happened is some people have taken this even further. Last Sunday night, Keith Parks was preaching on warfare, and he talked about a movement that is happening right now across the world. It's called the World Alliance Religious Peace Summit, or WARP. It's actually called WARP, okay, for short. WARP. It's a World Alliance of Religions and Peace and so forth. So this thing started off with just a few people coming together and saying, we got to get along. And then it started to balloon, and they had these seminars. In September of 2014, there was a seminar that happened in Seoul, Korea, where more than 60,000 people got together from 172 nations and said, we want peace. There was a march at that time where 30,000 people hit the streets shouting, we want peace, we want peace. And the chairman of that time, his name was Man Hee Lee. He says, God the Creator has been working up to this day for this event. Now that the religions are united, all creations and humanity are free. Yahoo! We've united all the religions, and we are now able to get along and coexist. It can't happen like that. And I explain one of the reasons. By the way, just so you know, this chairman, Manhee Lee, for this organization, which has ballooned into hundreds of thousands, even millions of supporters, he is a well-known Korean cult leader. Interesting person to have as a leader for this organization. His church is called the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony. Try to say that one a few times really fast. See, here's the thing, folks. There are so many diversities in religion that when they say we all worship the same God, there's a problem because some of them, as we said a number of weeks ago, some of them, like Buddhism, don't even believe there's a God, right? So how do we get along? How do we coexist? Well, we can't really get along in a sense of all worshiping the same creator because we don't. And there is this little thing in Scripture where Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, come on, let's read it. Jesus said to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Through Christ. It's only through Christ. So now here's the problem with that scripture is the religions are looking at that and they're going, you are being very, very judgmental in all the other religions. You're segregating yourself. How dare you? I usually answer by saying, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, I believe it, right? But our responsibility when it comes to breaking the barrier is we've got to find a place where we can connect with the religions that are out there. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. How can we connect with our Buddhist neighbor or our Sikh neighbor or how can we connect to the Muslim that's living across the street? How can we connect to all these different religions in a way that honors God and in a way that builds a bridge that breaks down the barriers between us and them? Let's pray. Father, we know that this word is truth, that Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. There is no other way except through Christ to have a relationship with you. But we also know, Father, there are many people in our and on our planet that are actively seeking the Creator, actively seeking some sort of spiritual enlightenment. Father, help us to understand what our responsibility is. Not to look down at people, but to build this bridge to them and to develop a relationship so that you would be honored, they would be encouraged, and the truth would penetrate their hearts and their lives in a very positive way. So now, Lord, as we look at this morning, would you guide us as we hear your word? Would you guide me, Father, and would you be glorified in your name? Amen. When it comes to connecting, folks, it's got to start by we need to listen. We need to listen. Let me give you a verse that you should know very well. James chapter 1 verse 19 says this, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to what? To listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. We should be quick to listen. See, here's the thing. People want to be heard. People want to know that you are listening to them, okay? Now, let's just imagine, Dr. Isaac, let's imagine that I walk into your office one day. This would never happen. Not that I wouldn't walk in his office, but what I'm about to say. I would walk into your office one day, and you would look at me, and I'm very orange, okay? And I'm hobbling in there, and you said, you know what? I he doesn't ask me anything. He just looks at me and says, you know what? You have been taking too much iron, way too much iron. What we're going to do is we're going to cut you open and pull out some blood so that we can let out some blood because you got to get rid of some of that iron in your body. And you know what? You probably got to kind of back off on all that alcohol you're drinking. I mean, I know it's a gray issue, but you shouldn't be drinking all that stuff because that's why you're looking so orange. And I saw you hobbling in here. So obviously you've got a broken leg. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a splint on that leg and I'm going to give you some antibiotics. Here you go. Have a great day. And you kick me out. Now, that wouldn't be a very good doctor. Just saying, he is a good doctor, by the way. If you need medical attention, go see his practice and all that stuff. That was a free for you there, Dr. Isaac. It wouldn't be very good because he's gotta hear what really is going on with me. My problem was I got a can of this quick spray on tan and it turned me orange, okay? And I got so mad when I saw myself in the mirror that I kicked the counter and I broke my toe. But I came not because I had a broken toe or I had orange, but I had a cold and I wanted an antibiotic. That's it. We've got to listen. Now, of course, that wouldn't happen. But sometimes we are quick to make judgment calls and quick to say things without listening first. Folks, Scripture says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And you know, I've said this many times before. God's given you two ears for a reason and one mouth. We should keep this one closed and these ones open sometimes, because sometimes all we should be doing is listening. And sometimes we get angry because we haven't listened or we haven't heard people through. So, for example, for myself, it's a little bit of a time of reflection and sharing some of the issues that I've had. I've seen people walking around with one of these things. Okay, and this is a knife that the Sikh community carries. It's called a kirpan. I hope I said that right. And I thought, why is it that they can carry a kirpan? And I got caught by in customs at the airport because in my luggage I had a little thorn that I was taking home from Africa, and they got me into trouble for taking home a thorn. And I'm looking at this and I'm going. And actually, to be honest with you, I got upset until I sat down with a Sikh person. And I asked them a little bit about what are your requirements? And he talked about the 5 Ks of Sikhism, and I can't even say them properly. There's the Kesh, which is uncut hair, the Kara, which is a steel bracelet, the Kanga, which is a wooden comb, the Kancha, which is a special undergarments, and then their Kirpan. And interesting about the Kirpan, it's not something that they pull out to try to pick a fight. The word means bringer of mercy. It's something that they carry because they want to defend others. And they don't pull it out unless it's in a sense of defense for someone else. My point is, folks, if we stop and listen and we begin to hear why people do what they do, maybe, just maybe, we can actually learn something. And you know what? Honestly, I have to say I did learn. I did learn a little bit from there. I did learn a little bit from other people. And you know what? I think one of the biggest challenges when it comes to trying to build a bridge to someone from the from another religion is that there is this thing called ignorance and there's this thing called fear. And what I mean by ignorance is we just don't understand. We don't get it. We're afraid of, and if we ask, we're afraid that something's going to happen. So don't you dare use the word Jesus, because you never know. They may have a vest strapped on it, and they'll press a button, they'll blow you up, or maybe they'll pull out their kirpan and cut you up. Like, we've got these crazy ideas. Let me tell you, it's not going to happen. You know, can I also tell you that people that come to our nation from other nations are told, now, believe this or not, they're told that Canada is a Christian nation. Did you know that? That they're told when they leave Iran or some of these other countries that Canada is actually Christian. Go figure, right? So here's what they expect from you. They expect you to be a Christian. Really? They actually expect you to talk about Jesus. Because for them to pray 5 times a day facing a Mecca, is that's what they do. So if you're praying, like, okay, folks, seriously, you're in the restaurant. You've never done this. Okay, we're going to pray for the food. No waitresses around. Thank you, Lord, for the food. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody's done that ever here before, right? People expect you to live out your faith. Live it out. Don't be afraid of it. When we become afraid, it's not only against what Scripture says, but it also, people look at us and go, man, you're hypocritical. Because I thought you were a Christian and you are living, or supposed to be living it out. So we want to build a bridge to these other religions. Let me just quickly talk about three of them here that are predominant here in our city. The first one is Sikhism. And you know, I could say so much about Sikhism. And by the way, I've printed out some sheets in the back. I don't know how many are left. I can print out another 300 if you want. But I printed out some sheets in the back about some of this stuff you can take with you. But let me talk about Sikhism. And without getting too much into a lot of stuff, let me talk about Jesus. How many know talking about Jesus is a good idea? Well, let's talk about Jesus when it comes to Sikhism. So when it comes to a Sikh, they look at Jesus as being a saint. They look at him as being a very holy messenger of Jesus, of God. They're not afraid of Jesus. They're not afraid of the name Jesus. They may understand him differently than we do, but they're not afraid of him. So remember that. Don't be afraid to talk about Jesus. Secondly, when it comes to Sikhism, understand some of the key pillars of their faith. And I think these are so good, and you can use these to build a bridge. We're trying to build bridges, folks. First of all, remember, one of their pillars is to remember God at all times, which includes being thankful to God for what you have been given. They are strong believers in God. Don't be afraid to talk about God with your Sikh neighbor. Don't be afraid to share with them that God is good and he's faithful, because they believe that. They believe they need to remember God. Secondly, they believe they need to live their lives with honesty and integrity. Could we learn from that? Right? And could we use that and say, let me talk about honesty. Let me talk about being integral, what it means to me. Talk about the things that are important. They believe that they need to share with those who are less fortunate. If you're hungry, you can easily go into a Sikh temple and get something to eat. They will feed you. And it's pretty good food. Okay? They believe in that. We can talk about that. We can build a bridge to them. Let's talk about the one that scares a lot of people. Islam. Let me talk to you about Jesus and Islam. There is an evangelist that's been working in Pakistan. He obviously won't give you his name, but he had some really good insights regarding Jesus in Islam. And he said that through the Quran, their book, Jesus is mentioned. Did you know that he's mentioned over 700 times? I didn't know that. Here's some of the things that is mentioned in the Quran. He was born of a virgin. He was to be revered. He was a prophet. He was a wise teacher. He was a miracle worker. He ascended into heaven. They believe he will come again. They believe in Jesus. They believe he was a prophet. Of course, they believe Muhammad was greater than him. But don't be afraid to talk about Jesus with your Muslim neighbor. Let me talk very briefly about Hinduism. Let me talk about Hinduism and who Jesus is in Hinduism. Actually, in the Hindu tradition, there are stories that are told to the children about a prophet named Ishu. Ishu. And this story's been taught, I didn't realize this until I was doing some research here. They're taught that he was a very special baby born in a stable, and later he was visited by three wise men. Why not start right there? They believe that. Hey, let me tell you about Ishu. Let me tell you about Jesus, who was born in a stable, who was visited by three wise men, and what he means to me. For them, Jesus was a very holy man. They believe that he was a god, one of many, many, many gods. Did you know that in Hinduism, the Gospel of John is revered because it's very philosophical, and they like looking at it and so forth. So Begin by looking at opportunities to build a bridge. And I guess that brings us to number three, look for those opportunities. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to, I used to do a lot of street ministry. And I walk up to this Native guy, First Nations guy, and I started talking to him about his religion. Listen, okay, that's where you got to start. I started listening to him about religion, he says, and he started explaining to me some of the practices they have. And one of the practices is they take and they tie somebody to a tree and they leave them there. And somehow to receive the spirit guide or whatever. And I said to this individual, I says, you know what? That is so interesting. I says, because in Christianity, Jesus went to a tree. And he hung on the tree. He died on the tree so that we could have eternal life. And I shared the gospel. And you know what he did? He walked up to me. And he put his hand on my heart. And he goes like this. We're brothers. If we can find a way, folks, of developing a relationship, it is so, so crucial. Look for this opportunity. So it brings us to a scripture, and you know this one well, Acts chapter 17, verse 23. So here's Paul. Okay, Paul comes to the city of Athens. Now, let me just say, Athens was a pretty prestigious city. Athens was a center for a culture, a center for art, a center for religion. It was quite the city. Actually, they say that there are over 30,000 altars in Athens at that time. One of the writers at that time said it's easier to find a god in Athens than it is to find a man. Okay? So it is a very, very religious place. And here's what happened. Paul, he's walking around, he's seeing, you know the story. He's looking and he sees these altars. And see, here's the thing. When we see stuff that grieve us, we've got a choice to make. We can either get really upset and say, man, I'm out of here, or we can look for an opportunity. And I love this about Paul, because he looks for an opportunity, doesn't he? And it says he stood up in a meeting of the Areopagus, and I won't get into it, but that was a very prestigious place where they used to meet and have all sorts of conversations about all crazy stuff. And he said, men of Athens, I see that you are very, that in every way you are very religious. Go figure, of course. There's 30,000 idols sitting around. For as I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of worship, I found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. I love that. Isn't that great? You know, I just love the Athenians. I think they're fantastic because they're sitting there going, man, we got to make sure we cover all our bases. We've got 30,000 altars, but maybe we missed one. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to put this one up and we'll just put to an unknown God. Okay, we're going to worship this one. Just whoever you are. We just want to worship. Make sure, you know. So this is what they did. And so Paul comes in and goes, this is great. And what an opportunity. Look for opportunities, folks. Look for opportunities. See, I believe that everybody is hungry for God. I believe that. I believe what is written in Ecclesiastes verse 3, verse 11. It says, God has put eternity into the hearts of man. He has put a desire on everybody. I don't care if they call themselves an atheist. You know what? I've got a book that says, God does not believe in atheists. Think about that one for a second. I think there is not an atheist on this planet. When push comes to shove, they're going to sit back and go, whoa, hang on a second. If they really think, but of course some of them don't think. Anyways, that's beside the point. How can we look for opportunities with the religions that I've talked to you about? How can we develop a relationship with these folks? Let's talk about Sikhism for a second. Establish positive and a cordial relationship with Sikhs. Get to know your Sikh neighbor. They're fun people to get. They make a great tea. It's called chai. Anybody drink chai? Yeah, it's super sweet. You'll get over that too. Go do some running afterwards. But sit down and have a cup of chai with your Sikh neighbors and get to know them. Develop a relationship with them. Secondly, be aware of aspects of Sikh religion that are similar to Christianity. I talked to you about that in just a little bit ago. Know it. Grab that piece of paper at the back. It'll give you a bunch of stuff that we can use to develop these relationships with them. Be prepared to share your faith and testimony. I can't emphasize this enough, and we said it in our Lyft community, and I've said this before. Everybody here's got a story. All of you've got a story. What God has done in your life, don't keep it to yourself. Gossip about your story. It's the only time you're allowed to gossip. Tell people about your story. What has God done for you? Like Hazel this morning, share what God has done. It might be just a little thing of how God has touched you and healed you, but share that and share about how God has been with you. Share your faith. Fourthly, pray with them when possible. Can I just say, and I'm going to say this a number of times, I don't think there's one religion out there that won't allow you to pray with them. Honestly. I think this is so important. If they're going through a bad time, just say, listen, can I just pray? Can I just pray for you? And you know, don't pray some long, lengthy prayer that condemns them to hell and all that. Don't do that, okay? But just pray, God, I pray for this individual. Show yourself to them. Touch them where their need is at and let them know how important it is. Share the love of Christ even through your prayer. But be willing. They value that. Let's talk about Islam. How can we build a bridge to someone that is a Muslim? Well, first of all, be a friend. They're people. They're not crazy fundamentalists. There are those that are like that, but most of them are just regular folks that just want to be a neighbor. So be a friend. See, their relationship, their religion is more than that. It is a way of life, and relationship is important to them. So develop that. Can I encourage you? Don't ever criticize Islam. Don't do it in a presence of a Muslim. That's just not smart. Remember those vests that I'm talking? No, I'm kidding. But don't criticize and don't use stuff like that. These guys that are terrorists and stuff. Like that's not them. Don't criticize. You don't like it when people criticize anything about you. Somebody comes up to you and says they don't like the way you do your hair. You get offended and you go home and you shave it or something. But don't criticize. Thirdly, ask questions about their beliefs and be prepared to engage in deep discussions. Ask. Can I encourage you to ask to learn and not to judge? Okay? Ask to learn and not to judge, because I think that through this, we can learn about them and God will give us an opportunity. And then can I encourage you, emphasize God's love, His grace, and the assurance of a personal relationship with Him through Jesus. Now, this may take some time to get there, but emphasize how God is loving, how He cares for them, how He's got a plan for them. Just share the love of Jesus. People need to hear that. And lastly, again, pray with them as much as possible. Jump to Hinduism. How can we build a bridge? Describe your personal relationship with God. They've got millions of them, millions of gods that Hindus believe in them. And to have a personal relationship with God is very foreign to them. Talk to them about God's forgiveness, personally, how God has forgiven you. And I used to do such and such. Well, don't have to get into all the dirty laundry, but talk about how God has helped you and forgiven you and how you felt freedom in that. They believe in the law of karma. They believe that because of what you do, you have sealed your fate. So you're going to come back as a worm or as a fly or worse, a mosquito. So you got to share how God has forgiven you, and it's not based on nature. It's based on His love for us. Develop a friendship. I hope you're getting this. God has called us to friendships. Are you following me? God has called us to have friendships with those outside of our faith. And again, pray with them when possible. I had a privilege of going into a Hindu house, and one of the family members was very ill. And I had the privilege of praying with, they were so grateful. We stood up, we held hands, and we prayed. By the way, can I just mention, when it comes back to Sikhism, if you pray, in all of these cases, when you pray, pray with faith. Lord, I pray you would heal this individual in Jesus' name. Because here's the thing. It is often through those miracles that these people come to Christ, especially in Sikhism. They don't see a lot of miracles there, especially not personal stuff, because God is far removed. But if you pray, God, would you heal them? It really does something for them. And in all of this, everything you do, please, please bathe it in love. Bathe it in love. Like, really love. Don't just do the fluffy, you know, I love you. Like seriously, if you can do that, but be real, okay? See, here's what Jesus said. He said in John 13, chapter 34, you know this. He said, let's read it, come on. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know. You kind of lost it at the end. They will know that we are his followers if we love. Please, folks, please, I'm really begging you. This is paramount. Paramount is to truly, truly love in the way that God loved us. There is nothing more important than showing love, even when it's really hard to do. To reach out and to care enough to sit with an individual when they're going through their challenges, to take time with people and let them know that you really care. When I used to do street ministry, I was working with, I talked to this individual that he had no place to stay that night. So I put him up in a motel that night, and he called me up. I gave him my number. I'm not sure why I did that, but I gave him my number. And he called me up and he said, I don't understand you. Like, most people don't, but that's okay. What do we mean? He says, why would you do this? Why would you put me up in a hotel? That doesn't make sense. When you show love, folks, practically, we can impact in a way that God really wants us to. Can I encourage you? We are called to connect. We are called to connect with people. I don't care where they're from. I don't care if they're for you or against you. We are called to connect with our community. You have people in your neighborhood right now, right next door to you, that may come from many different backgrounds, many different faiths, and you've got a choice. And your choice is, man, I don't know how to talk with them. I don't know how to deal with them, so I'm just going to close myself up. Okay, please don't do that. You have a choice where you can say, well, I don't have the answer, so I'm just not going to say anything. Please don't do that. You have a choice to say, I'm going to do my best just to be a friend. Maybe just to share a little bit about what's going on in my world, how God has helped me, and just love on them. Sit down and have a cup of chai. Or don't do that black stuff, because that's evil. It's of the devil. You know that coffee thing you guys drink. But if it means having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or just sitting down and having a little bit of a discussion, we need to connect. We need to break down barriers.